Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This week, WBUR is examining the landmark 1993 law that changed K-12 education in Massachusetts. Our Edify team is bringing you a series called Pass-Fail, evaluating 25 years of education reform. Today, we're taking a look at the state's charter schools experiment. It was created under the Education Reform Act of 93. These independent public schools operate under charters approved by the State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, and they're funded by local districts and the state. Now, charter schools were meant to be engines of education innovation, with more freedom to organize around a core mission or curriculum. They are meant also to provide parents with more choices for their children's education and close achievement gaps. But they're also deeply controversial. WBUR's Max Larkin and Carrie Young look at the results of the charter school experiment in Massachusetts.
As charter schools have experimented, they have made some headway in closing the achievement gap.
Which is part of the reason that parents and students of color, thousands and thousands of them, are clamoring to get in them.
Like Somerville mom and education activist Carrie Rodriguez. The issue's personal for her. She has three sons, two of whom are stuck on long wait lists, unable to get into those schools that she believes would actually serve them better.
It's crushing. You're wondering whether or not you should get an extra job at Dunkin' Donuts working overnight so you can send them to private school so these kids get a shot.
Rodriguez runs Massachusetts Parents United, a group that supports charter schools, among other things. When asked why she supports those schools, she points to the MCAS scores, specifically the 10 schools where English learners perform best in Boston.
7 out of the 10 of them are charter schools. So our charter schools in Boston actually know how to get this done.
Test data show that by some measures, Rodriguez is right. English learners in charter schools, at least here in Boston, are scoring better than their peers in traditional district schools. Statewide, though, the picture is less clear. According to a prominent study done a few years ago, English learners at charter schools actually did worse on the MCAS reading section.
But you do see the same patterns for other groups facing an achievement gap. African-American students, low-income students, they're all scoring better in charter schools, at least in Boston.
I think one of the main contributions of public charter schools has been that we have been able to prove that demographics are not destiny.
This is Tim Nicolette. He's the executive director of the Massachusetts Charter School Association. Like many charter school officials, he loves to share this kind of data. And when you ask him about what's behind those numbers...
All kids can learn and can succeed at high levels if they are in an environment of high expectations and also high support.
I think it's worth noting that when Nicolette talks about high expectations, some of the schools he represents, especially the ones with the super high test scores, also show significantly higher rates of student discipline.
When you look at the schools with the top suspension rates in the state over the last 5 years, charter schools, again, are all over the top 10.
Hence the phrase, Carrie, you hear all the time when people talk about charter schools. This is the so-called no excuses model.
KIPP Massachusetts is part of a national network of schools that follow that model. Caleb Dolan is the executive director, and he admits those high expectations might have been tough on kids.
I mean, if you go back to 2004, you might see silent lines in the hallway all the time, and you might see a lot of silent time in the classroom.
Not anymore, though. I was actually there at the KIPP school in Boston as it started its day. Music was piped into the halls. Caleb Dolan says school leaders started to hear from their own graduates, kids who made it to college but found themselves overwhelmed by the freedom they had there, telling them,
"You guys, we need to, like, have a little freedom to screw up. You know, because you were, like, managing time and energy so intently that we never had to, like, navigate on our own."
Last school year, for example, administrators at KIPP Boston suspended almost 1 in 5 of their students. But Dolan says that this year, that suspension rate has been cut almost in half.
That's not good enough, though, for Linda Nathan.
I'm waiting for them to say, very publicly, we were wrong, and these were racist policies.
Nathan consults for another charter school, the Conservatory Lab School in Boston. Despite her involvement, she's a harsh critic of how the charter school movement has evolved in Massachusetts since 1993.
This was part of an ed reform bill to encourage innovation for teachers. There was never a sense that charters were here to stay forever.
Nathan says at first she supported the move to open charter schools because she genuinely believed in their ability to experiment. She thought it would be good for the whole school system. They'd try something, and if it worked, the idea could be shared with district schools that are inevitably less flexible.
If you think about the original charters, it was meant to be really out-of-the-box kinds of schools.
But that could mean so many different things, Gary.
It really could. It kind of has worked out that way, though. Sometimes. Certain things have trickled over from the charter world to district schools. Extended learning time, intensive tutoring, even dress codes.
But, Gary, 25 years after the law that created them, charter schools are still evolving, too. They were dealt a big defeat at the polls 2 years ago. And since then, a few charter school faculties in Massachusetts have voted to unionize, chasing the higher salaries that district teachers make.
And the Conservatory Lab School, where Linda Nathan works, that school board has said it wants to rejoin the Boston School District. So that collaborative relationship between charter and district schools that the 93 ed reformers had imagined, there's some evidence that could come back.
Then again, Carrie, as long as there's an MCAS test and a de facto competition, who can post the highest score, there will always be a little tension between these two worlds.
That's WBUR's Max Larkin and Carrie Young. Now, I have to say that in my mind, there is, in fact, a lot of tension between charter and district schools in Massachusetts. That ballot box defeat that Max referred to was, yes, ballot question two in 2016, the question to lift the cap on charter schools in Massachusetts. It was the single most expensive ballot question campaign in state history, with both sides spending more than $40 million in that campaign. It really mirrored the bitter national debate over charter schools. And if you want to check out our coverage of that 2016 ballot question, we did a lot of it. Go to radioboston.org.